He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and author of my newest book, God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. I'm so glad that you could join with us on today's program. As we go through this series, His Promised Grace, I know that you will discover that God's grace has allowed you to live the abundant life here on this earth as you walk in Jesus Christ. As you listen to the series, you will understand that the abundant life is more than finances, it's more than cars, it's more than houses, it's much more than any of that. It is eternal salvation in Jesus Christ that allows us to walk in His abundance with joy in our heart, knowing that God is in control of these troubled times. Now let's listen to the message, His Promised Grace.
Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for this congregation of servants. I pray in the name of Jesus You will show us where You can use us, that our vision will become Your vision, that as we reach out to a lost world, that You will utilize our talents, that You will fill us with Your Spirit, that You might give us the gifts that it will take for us to manifest Your Word to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
We've been going through this series, His Promised Grace. Ephesians chapter 2, 11 through 22 is what we will be looking at. God's vision for His people is always continuous. It is always continued. The exciting thing about God's vision that He has given me is not my vision at all. It's God's vision. And I'm going to at least in part prove that to you this morning. But you need to ask yourself a couple of questions first. What is your vision for yourself in your Christian walk? What is your vision
for the church?
How do you envision this church next year, 3 years, 5 years? Have you thought about it? Do you have a vision? Or are you just kind of complacent or kind of comfortable exactly where we are sitting right now? What is your vision for your life? Do you expect God to do anything in your life? Are you happy with only doing the worldly parts of this life? Are you happy with the goals that you have set for your life in the world, and that's all that you're expecting? Look, I wanted to be a lawyer. I've gone through school. I'm a lawyer. Look, I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to be a mechanic. And now I have made a good living, and now I am retiring from that living, or I am just getting started with that living, or whatever the case may be. Are you happy with only that life? And if you are, I need to tell you that you have a very small, a very temporary goal in your life. It's going to last you a maximum of somewhere around 100 years for that goal in your life, to fulfill what is going to happen in this worldly place. And some of you maybe have fulfilled all of your goals now, and you're on the downslope is the way you see it. And you say, look, I'm retired. It's in the easy times. It's the easy sections of life. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And if that's what you are thinking, you are absolutely, unequivocally wrong. There is no retirement plan in the Word of God. If you can find it, you make sure you show it to me. It is non-existent. The only retirement plan in the Word of God does not exist in this life. It's a wonderful plan. And in fact, if you read the Word of God, you will find out when we get to heaven, we will not be retired. Forget about that worldly thought of sitting on a cloud playing a harp. Number one, I don't know how to play no harp. So God's going to have something, have to do a little teaching anyway. What a boring life. Satan has tried to make it look like the heaven is not a good alternative. What a boring place. We are going to sit on a cloud and play the harp all the time while the people down in hell are having all the fun. A lie of Satan. That's not what's going to happen. In fact, heaven is going to be an exciting place that we are preparing for right now. God says that we are going to rule. We're going to rule over the angels. It sounds like we may be ruling over, I don't know exactly how that's going to work. I've never met a theologian that could tell me exactly how it's going to work. But we are going to have jobs to do in heaven. You still have a job to do here. I was listening to Brother Jerry Falwell the other day in a message that he was bringing. He was 70 years old at the time. And he was talking about how there is no such thing as retirement. And he had these goals and these plans set up for the university and for the church and how things were going to happen. He was telling his vision for the church and for the university at 70 years old. At the time when he should have been saying, well, you know, it's time that I turn it over to some of these younger guys and I let them do what it is they're going to do. I saw Brother Jerry Falwell. I was the last graduating class of Brother Jerry Falwell with his signature on my diploma. He was still preaching. He was still working. He was still planning. He was still going. What is your vision for your life today? A vision without action is a dream. An action without a vision is busy work. How many of you like busy work? I have always hated busy work because it's not going anywhere. It's not going to get me anywhere. I worked for a company one time when I was between jobs. I went to work for Manpower and I was working and I had to go to work for this construction company. And the guy tells us, he says, I want you to go out there and I want you to knock all of this tile off of this concrete floor. Me and another guy went out there and we had one of these big bars and they weigh about 70 pounds. And it's a big steel bar. And boy, we would take some swings at it. When we first started, you know, I'm swinging that thing 4 or 5 times and then we'd pass it back. And then that guy would swing until he got tired and he'd pass the bar back. And we just kept on swinging that thing. And by the time we got through or getting close to done with that tile, I was taking one swing and I was passing it to him and he's taking another swing. He'd pass it back. We were tired. And that thing's just going back and forth. We're knocking that tile off the floor. We think we're doing something. We're moving forward. This job's going somewhere. The owner of the company, of all things, as I went over to get a drink of water, began to laugh. And I said, what are you laughing about? He said, I don't know why y'all are doing that. We're going to jackhammer the whole floor. Busy work. This foreman had us out there just doing busy work on something else that we could do. The same thing that afternoon, the next day, when I came back to do the job again, the floor had been jackhammered. Nat was all sitting there and he says, I want you to take this shovel that you take these shovels and you go out there and you load all the concrete. And you take it over there and we're going to take it to this dumpster over there. So we did that for about 2 hours. Again, the boss came and he was laughing again. And I looked at him, what are you laughing about? Well, I don't know why y'all are doing that. We've got a bobcat right over there. The guy's going to come in at lunchtime and he's going to remove all that stuff. I quit that job right there. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the owner was not very smart because he had labor out here. He's sitting there paying for busy work. Makes no sense. I don't like busy work. I hate it. However, when you have a vision and you put action to it, you have faith in action. When you have a vision and you put action to it, you have faith in action. You're doing God's work at that point in time. However, a vision is much more than facilities. A vision is much more than build it and they will come. I do not believe in that. I believe that as we're working, we may prepare for those who are going to come, but I don't think that we should get into some humongous building program at this time and get all ready. It doesn't make sense. That's not what God wants us to do. I don't believe that's going to be a good steward of His money. Does that mean that we should not make some preparations for that? No, it does not. But what it does mean is that God wants us to do what He has asked us to do. Ephesians 2, "Therefore, remember that you were formerly Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope." Just as Israel had no hope without turning to God, we have no hope without turning to Jesus. The people that are out in this community have no hope if they do not have Jesus in their life. God's promised grace was promised to us at the beginning of creation. It was passed on to Israel through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Isaiah 14:1 says, "The Lord will have compassion on Jacob. Once again, He will choose Israel and will settle them in their own land." God has always given men vision to be able to complete the task that He has for them. God's grace that He has given to us has been set up in such a way that we will be able to glorify Him. Genesis 37, 5 through 11, the story of Joseph, the beginning of the story of Joseph, when he had a dream. Joseph had a dream that God had given to him, and encompassed in that dream was the grace of God that was going to allow Joseph, through his dream, through the vision that God had given him, to save Israel as a nation. Many of us know the story of Joseph and how he was thrown into a pit. He was sold into slavery. He was thrown into prison only so that he could be brought out to be the right-hand man to the Pharaoh. And because of God's plan, because of God had given Joseph the vision, he was right-hand man to the Pharaoh so that when Israel came, Jacob was Israel, when Israel came to him, he could save them from starvation and save them to where they would not all die off. He saved the nation of Israel. God's grace gave Joseph that vision of everything that would happen. And I have to believe that as Joseph was going through the struggles and through the trials and through all those things, he remembered that vision. "Well, wait a minute, God, this can't be because you have told me this." And God must have been saying, "Patience, patience, Joseph. We've got to go through these steps before we can get you there. This is the vision. The vision is so that you might be able to save Israel." Timing is everything. Timing is what God wants us to make sure that we are in good timing. And what is good timing? It is God's timing. It's not getting out in front of Him, but it is following Him and following His direction. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people will perish." The NIV breaks it down even more. "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." In other words, when there is no Word of God, when you're not following the Word of God, you are going to fall into sin, into temptation. And as long as we are not growing this church for Jesus Christ, we are not following what God wants us to do. Ephesians 2:14 through 18, Jesus has destroyed the barrier. He's taken that barrier down. He has made it now to where we can go and we can talk to people about Christ and they can come in. "For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." And I believe that as we begin to continue to reach out for those, pray that God will reach out to those. The Jews did not like the Gentiles. The Gentiles did not like the Jews. But because of His grace and because of His mercy and because of His love, He put the two together. As we begin to pray for our loved ones, as we begin to pray for our neighbors, we can see them coming in. But there's more to it than that. I know that I've been talking about evangelism for weeks and weeks and years. And perhaps you're one that is sitting there saying, "Well, I don't know what to do." You talk about reaching out to people for Christ. "I don't know what to do." You have such an opportunity. You don't know what to do? What is the vision? It's exactly the same vision that we have in the Bible that God has for each one of us. Ephesians 2:19-22. We are a part of the building of Jesus Christ. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. We are likened to a building. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Now you have been assigned a certain part of this building to build. If we do not build that part of the building, what do you think is going to happen? There's going to be a hole there. Maybe there's going to be a window that's going to be missing that should be there because we should. Maybe there's going to be a door. Maybe there's only going to just be a piece of the wall and then the weather can come in. One way or the other, if you were building a house and the house is totally complete and the contractor comes there and he's all excited, he says, I want you to come and see your new house. How would you feel if you get there and one wall is missing? Oh, what about that wall? Oh, well, sorry about that. There was one guy that didn't fulfill his part of the bargain, his part of the contract. And so, well, aren't you going to finish that? Well, no, because, you know, they didn't fulfill their part of that. And so this is the way you get it. How would you feel about that? God has given us a mission. And in fact, it is time that now we all begin to have a vision. And we all come together and understand what that vision is so that we might be able to go forward as one people. Not out this way and this way and this way, but we might be able to go as a plow as we begin to continue to build for Christ. Now you have to decide, you have to pray, you have to ask, what is your part in that vision? God has already given you a vehicle. He has given you the vehicle to be able to bring those to Christ. It is His Holy Spirit, His power, His Word, to be able to proclaim His gospel. Whatever we do as a group. We do as the body of Christ. And it's not hard work, it's exciting work. And as we begin to see what God wants to do for us, as we begin to pray in the upcoming weeks, pray what your vision is. Pray how God wants to use you. Pray, what does He want you to do? I want you to tell God this morning, in fact, yes, God, I want to do that. I want to do whatever it is that You want me to do. I want to do it. There is no retirement plan in the kingdom of God. God wants us to continue to work until that day He brings us to Him. And then we'll let Him tell us what to do from there. He's already told us what to do here. He hasn't told us what we're going to do in heaven. Because we're not there yet. He knows we can't handle that. But we can handle the roadmap that He's already given us to know exactly what we are to do today. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for this church. I pray in Jesus' name that You will use us in a great and mighty way. That You will help us to be soldiers for the cross and show us exactly what to do. As we begin to gather our teams together and as we begin to work together in one accord, that we will see souls for the kingdom. And we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us on our broadcast of His Gospel Power. I'm excited that you join with us and listen to us daily about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a listener-supported program, and I'm asking that you might prayerfully consider joining with us to spread the gospel around the world. You can do that in many ways. You can either go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. My latest one is God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. All the proceeds of those books go to this program of His Gospel Power. Also, you could go to hisgospelpower.org, hisgospelpower.org, and there is a donate section on that website. That is our website here for His Gospel Power. And just go and click on the donate button. If you would prefer to mail your gift, you can just send it to P.O. Box 1569. That's P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And all contributions that we receive are greatly appreciated. You would truly be a blessing to this ministry. I'm excited once again that you have joined with us. And until next time, I pray that you experience His gospel power today.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just come and praise His holy name. He's calling. Come live.